Our scripture this morning is taken from Matthew's gospel. It's very familiar to all of us. It's the Beatitudes, the fifth chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. There's an awful lot that we hear today about being blessed. And much of what we hear comes from preachers about the blessings that can be yours. And they can be yours because God smiles on you because you've done something well, or you've done something right, or you've prayed the right prayer, or said the right words, or quoted the right scripture to get what you want from God, and so you get blessed. You've heard that. You've heard those preachers. You've heard those people talking like that. That says, if you want wealth, all you need to do is say the right words. They're in the Bible. Say those words. Believe those words and you'll get blessed. If you want health, you go through that same process. If you want something for your family, you go through that same process. You just find those words, find those ways to express it, trusting that if you say it, then God has to do it. Oh, God has to do it? You can determine what God will or will not do by your words, by your actions, and then you'll be blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the mournful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are reviled. Want to use those words? Want to find a way to pray for that in your life? To receive the blessings of God? You see, it's a different accounting. It's a different economy in which we live as Christians. It's not the economy of the world. It's not the economy that says this is what we must do to secure our positions. No, God's economy is a totally different way of thinking. God's economy is to say to those who are in need, you're blessed. Particularly when the need is expressed in and through faith. Several years ago, serving another place, there was a community in which several of our members lived. It was not a community you wanted to be in, necessarily. But one of the ladies who lived there called and said, "Can you come see me?" And I went, and we sat on her front porch in a rickety old swing. And she said, "I don't have much, but God has been good to me. My children have grown up. Now understand this, they've graduated from high school," something no one in her family had done until her children. How many of us have been able to say we were the first to graduate from college? Hers graduated from high school. And they all have jobs. I'm so blessed for that to have happened. And I want to share that with you, preacher. I want you to know how good God has been in my life. That's blessing. That's receiving the blessing of God. That's the joy that is Jesus in the life of an individual. A few years after that, I was serving in the Big Stone Gap District as a district superintendent. Big Stone Gap is one of those places that's known as the coal fields of Southwest Virginia. That entire district is dotted with coal mines everywhere, and now they've gone to strip mining, so those beautiful Appalachian Mountains are being leveled on top. Oh, the reclamation is wonderful. They reclaim the land, and then they put prisons on top of those mountains. That's what Big Stone's becoming notorious for. Walden's Ridge, State Prison, Red Onion, Federal Penitentiary, all on the tops of mountains that were stripped for coal mining. There are villages in all of those little areas. They're coal camps. The coal companies own the rights to the land, to the mineral rights under the ground. They also own every house in the village, in the coal camp. And the people who live there pay the coal company rent. In every coal camp, there was a church. And for the most part, it was a Methodist church. In every coal camp, there was a movie theater. In every coal camp, there was a drugstore or a general store that had a pharmacy. And there was always a Boy Scout and a Girl Scout troop. The miners were paid in scrip, not in money, but in scrip. The coal company gave them scrip, and they took 10 cents out of every coal miner's pay for the church and 10 cents out for the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and then 10 cents out as a property tax. They owned the property, but they still taxed it. And that's still a practice in some of those coal camps. Rosa Heron lived in Imboden. Great, great coal camp story. She was a historian of the coal camps of Southwest Virginia. Rosa had written several books, had written wrote articles for the Coalfield Progress, a newspaper published in that area, and also was a contributing writer to the Kingsport Times News occasionally. But went to Rosa's house for coffee and cake, and she talked about the experiences of living in a coal camp when it was deep shaft mining. And she told me the story of her father, who came out of the mines one day, came home, and went to bed, and never got up. Black lung had taken over. They called the doctor, and the doctor said, "It looks pretty bad. Maybe we should go to the hospital." And Rosa said, her dad said, "I ain't going to no hospital. If I can't go back in the mines, there's no reason for me to be here." family gathered in that terrible moment. And they stood watch. And they waited. She said, "Now, brother, you would not imagine that we would leave that place believing in the goodness of anything, would you?" She said, "But in this very house, this house I'm still living in, is where all this took place. And we sang hymns. And we read scripture. And we felt the very presence of Jesus. And our faith was strengthened. And we were blessed." Blessed are the mournful and the hungry and the thirsty. Blessed are the peacemakers and the persecuted. Doesn't make sense to us, does it? It doesn't make sense in our day and age. That's not where we see blessing, or at least we don't think we see blessing there. That's not what we're about. That's not what the church seems to be about sometimes. That's not what we're used to. Blessing means that you've got something. Blessing means that you've achieved something. Blessing means that you're important, that you're a part of something that is important. Blessing means that you have stuff. That seemed to be an attitude of the church even in the days of the Bible as it was being written. And yet hear what one writer of Scripture says about that. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Now those are the ones who don't believe. "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For the Jews demand a sign, and the Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block and foolishness. But to those who are being called, all who are being called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." And then he finally says, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." The wisdom of the world seems to be all around us. The wisdom of the world seems to be that which we have bought into as a people. The wisdom of the world says that all of this talk that the church is about, this crucifixion, this suffering, this talk like that, gets us nowhere. We need to understand that it's different now. But is it? Is it different when we seek to be blessed by God? The wisdom of the world has been made foolishness. And Jesus declares to us that we're blessed when we're in Christ. And Christ is in us. We're blessed regardless of our circumstances. We're blessed regardless of how much we have. We're blessed regardless of how powerful we are. We're blessed regardless. We're blessed in Christ and in nothing else. The poor in spirit, those who yearn for more knowledge of God, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn for the sins of the world, for their own sin, they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Those who understand that it is better to give than to receive, they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for goodness in life, they will be filled. The merciful, those who indeed do forgive, those who lend a hand, those who grant their presence with those who may be in opposition to them, they will receive that same mercy. The pure in heart, the guileless, they will see God. The peacemakers, those who always seek to find a way to bring people together, they will be called children of God. The persecuted, for the sake of God, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are reviled and spoken about falsely because they follow Jesus, their reward is even greater in heaven. That's blessing. Living a life that makes us one of them, then. Living a life of meekness and peace and seeking after righteousness. Living a life of mercy. Living a life wanting the kingdom of God more than anything else. Doesn't make sense, does it? Sometimes it doesn't to me. I have to go back and reread this over and over again throughout a year, sometimes even throughout a month, to be reminded of what it means to be blessed by God and what it means to live that blessed life before others. The world has one way. But it's not the way. That's the way of God. That's the way of blessing. And that's the invitation that is yours today. Seek that life that is a life of blessing. A life in which you have received God's blessing. A life in which you give that blessing away. As you leave this place, we pray together that that must take place.